views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
The following audio is via a Skype call.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show, where we have stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. I'm talking to you today from sunny Seattle here on KKNW AM 1150. You might be listening in Connecticut, Rhode Island, or New York on WBLQ AM 1230, or on one of the 35 stations in Australia, or anywhere around the world on Transformation Talk Radio, or, of course, through the archives in various places, including ChristineUpchurch.com. But I tell you, wherever you're listening from today, you are going to be happy you joined us, because we are going to have a deep and unusual conversation about the meaning of weird and its benefits. But before we get into that, I want to say hello to my better half here in the studio, who allows you to hear these wonderful conversations, doing extra magic over there today, Mr. Benny Mathers.
Hi, Benny. It's what I have to do on Illuminating Day.
Yes.
Sunshine,
yes.
Great guests, good people in the studio. The phones are ringing. It happens.
Yes. And I think that those of you who don't live in the Seattle area are probably saying, why do they always talk about sunshine when it's sunny there? But, you know, if you lived in this area, you know, you understand.
Well, and during
it.
Fall, too.
Yes. After the rainiest October on record ever. Yes.
Is that official?
Yes. Over 10 inches of rain, 1 month.
I will W the new weather gal. Because I didn't even know that. I knew they were talking about it.
Yeah.
I should have been more aware of that. Guess I was a little too busy.
And I'm really excited about our guest today. But
yes.
Before we get into that, I have to remember to make an announcement. If you're listening to this station, you may have a bit of rebellion within you. You know, you may have rebelled against certain aspects of the status quo, you know, maybe belief systems relating to religion and spirituality, perhaps aspects of what we've been taught to believe or ways in which we've been taught to behave, whatever. But if you have a little bit of rebellion in you, then I encourage you to join me, if you're here in the Seattle area, at East West Books Thursday, November 17th. I will be talking about the top 10 myths about spirituality. You know, I began to look at some of the beliefs within the consciousness community, and I started to think, you know what? I think some of those are wrong. What happens if we pop open the lid of the box and ask, is this true? And I've come up with several myths, and I would love to see you there on November 17th at 7 p.m. East West Bookshop. Go to ChristineUpchurch.com or EastWestBookshop.com. Now, without further ado, I'm very excited about our guest today. First of all, you know, it's funny the way the universe works. I've got a friend who lives in California, and she's actually a mutual friend with our guest today. And at one point she said, I think you two should connect. I think that you've got some things in common. And, you know, we connected on Facebook, and it wasn't until about 2 or 3 months ago, all of a sudden, his posts were showing up in my feed, as the universe would have it. It was kind of like, oh, there's my attention going there, and isn't this interesting? And when I started to read his writing, I was so impressed, really moved by some of the things he said. And of course, some of the things he says are also really funny, so I'd get some chuckles, and I thought he would make a wonderful guest. Well, as the universe would have it, he's got a brand new book out, you know, so it's perfect timing. And who am I talking about? Jacob Nordby. He is an author and a contributing author to several books, including The Divine Arsonist, A Tale of Awakening, Pearls of Wisdom with Jack Canfield, The Thought That Changed My Life Forever with Dr. Bernie Siegel, and Blessed Are the Weird is his new book. He leads a worldwide conversation with the Blessed Are the Weird tribe via social media, and he's also got a wonderful podcast show. He also teaches the popular Creative Un Boot Camp, a course for writers, and he makes his home near the mountains of Boise, Idaho, where he is actively plotting more novels. I'm so grateful to have him here today, Jacob Nordby. Hi, Jacob.
Hello, Christine. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you there?
Well, almost as radiant, it sounds like, a day here in Boise as it is in Seattle. So I'm really happy. It's Friday, too.
Oh, yeah. And it's and the weather here, I know you said you used to live here. It's unusually nice here in Boise. I suspect you get a little bit more sunshine, right?
Yeah, we're heading into that time of year when we're going to be pretty evenly matched for cloudy days, I think. But yeah, we do.
Yeah. So, you know, I just absolutely love your book, and the title of it is really intriguing. Blessed Are the Weird and Manifestive for Creatives. Now, I'm very curious about what prompted you to, first of all, name it this, and secondly, to put this together in book form.
Interesting. So, wow, this could turn into a very long story, but I'll keep it short for now, and we'll see if you want to pull more of it out of me later. But there was a time I spent most of my younger life very conformist, and then launched into business and started several companies with my brothers, and you know, had the outward trappings of success. And Christine, I felt like a fraud. Mm-hmm. Inside of that suit all of my life. There was this inner self that knew that there was something I wasn't expressing that wasn't true. Mm-hmm. And then in 2007 and 2008, the financial meltdown happened, and that forced to play some things that happened prior to that were a big wake-up call for me. But that really forced the play on me letting go of all of those trappings. Mm-hmm. And that sounds kind of tidy. It wasn't tidy.
Letting go never is.
No, it was kind of painful, but how grateful looking back. And so during that time, I began to get in touch with this self, the call of soul, this self that was in there looking for itself to be true. Mm-hmm. And in 2012, I sat down and wrote this. I just had this thing come through. Blessed are the weird people, the poets, the misfits, the mystics, painters, writers, troubadours, heretics. I'm having a hard time remembering the entire thing by right now. But then that came through, and I posted it somewhere on social media. But I wrote it just for myself. Blessed are the weird people, uh-huh. for they teach us to see the world through different eyes. And I was writing for myself. Like, that's how I felt like I'd always been, mm-hmm. was sort of just outside, even though from the outside looking at me, a lot of people probably thought that I was very, you know, put together and tidy and all this stuff. And so that was where that came from. And I had no idea that it would resonate with anyone. I mean, I'd written many things and articles and all this. Nothing had ever struck a chord like that. And it started being shared and shared. And then people created all sorts of different versions of it. And it just kept going and going. And so over time, I realized, you know, there was more to it. And mm-hmm. I needed to write something that would explain more about the what was going on there.
So, you know, Jacob, you talked about how as an adult, you know, you felt like you weren't sort of, you know, moving forward, expressing your soul within the context of your working life. Did you feel like, you know, somehow you were different or an outsider growing up?
Yeah, very much. Christine, I grew up in an extremely religious, fundamentalist Christian church. And so everything that we did was regulated, you know, I mean, literally almost everything we did was, you know, by the book, so to speak. And even though I was very good at conformity, so I fit in fairly well with this group, again, I didn't fit in with the rest of the world. I mean, I didn't watch a TV show till I was 25. So if I were to go out, and all of that, like, I didn't listen to anything except for classical and gospel until I was in my mid-20s when I left that church. Uh-huh. And so, yeah, in the broader context of the world, I was definitely a misfit and couldn't have the conversations or behave like most people I knew. But even inside of this group, this subculture where I was, you know, a very good at conforming, I was a very good chameleon, mm-hmm. I began to realize that I had questions that were insatiable. And if I asked them, I would be in danger of not fitting in there too. And eventually I had to.
Yeah. Right. So when you talk about blessed are the weird, what do you mean by weird?
It's probably one of the biggest questions and most frequently asked about this, because there's such a connotation about that word. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what I meant, Christine, when I first wrote this. It just sort of happened. And then as I researched the word in writing this book, and then it really examined it, I mean, it rang true for me, and I didn't know why. But I discovered that the word weird actually goes back. It has ancient roots, and it goes back to, the Old Norse and Germanic days, Old English. And the weird sisters they were like the fates who took care of Odin in the Norse tree of life, Yggdrasil. Uh-huh. And so there was this ancient word that became weird, and it didn't get framed as, you know, sort of off-putting or frightening or something disturbing until Shakespeare used it in one of his plays and, you know, talked about this kind of face this person was making as weird. And uh-huh. So weird became something different. Where it started was set apart, unusual, unique, honored, honorable. And so I didn't realize that when I wrote that little piece, and didn't until I began to, you know, dig into this topic, that, wow, there's more to this. And so even watching how the word has been defined, and then watching now how we have the freedom to possibly redefine what that word even means to ourselves and to the rest of the world.
Right, right. You know, when we come back, we're going to go to a quick break, but when we come back, I'm going to want you to talk about the various archetypes of the blessed weird people and what are some of the signs when we happen to be one of those blessed weirds. More with Jacob Nordby here in just a few moments.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
What is a brilliant culture? And how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough 5-step process to help you design a culture that is authentic, innovative, and successful. Learn how to create change with Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence, and Claudette Rowley. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit ClaudetteRowley.com.
Are you sick of feeling overworked with no motivation? Take a break from the daily grind. Life coach Nicole Eisler is here to provide a healing journey of optimism. Passionate and caring, Nicole is no ordinary soul. Her dedication to helping everyone has no limit. Witness the power of positivity. Tune in every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific for Positivity Party Radio with Nicole Eisler on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit BigDreamAwakening.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. Years ago, when facing cancer, without any immediate treatment options, I sought healing by making various life changes. For a while, I followed a very restrictive diet. I often found myself obsessing about which foods were good and which ones were bad. Then one day, I realized I was consuming foods based on fear of not getting well. But I didn't want to make choices out of fear anymore. I decided it was far better for my immune system if I allowed myself to experience the joy that came from, say, eating frozen yogurt, than it was for me to ingest the fear that came from avoiding it. Now, instead of choosing healthy habits based on fear, I try to make choices because they feel right and ultimately bring me joy and ease. How many of your healthy habits are really based on fear? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836. You let me complicate you.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm talking today to Jacob Nordby, author of Blessed Are the Weird. And, you know, you talked about the origin, Jacob, of the word weird. And I love hearing about that and understanding that it may have a very different connotation. But you put the word blessed and weird together. And who are the blessed weird people?
You know, that's the other interesting thing, Christine. Since I started, that, you know, when I shared that and then it became a thing, I became known as the weird guy. And and it was, you know, it was funny because, like, even I who wrote the book and stuff, you know, I don't necessarily know that I want to be known as the weird guy.
But so
what's interesting, though, is people that would then go and post anything with the word weird in it. And so I'd get these cartoon faces or people making these ridiculous, you know, what to me are just kind of outlandish expressions. And so I began to really ask, what does this mean? And A, what does it mean? And B, why do I feel annoyed at some of these things? What I discovered was the weird that I'm talking about, the blessed weird, are those who are just broken open by life. And they are insatiable for something real. They are absolutely unwilling to compromise having a real expression of their life, as if their life depends on it. And it does.
Right.
Like to not live a true, full, deep life is the same as being dead. It's like choosing to live a lie, and that's the same as being dead. And so that rugged commitment, that depth of commitment, I find that goes all the way to this, what I call the soul's bones, you know, that deep. That isn't something that everyone has. And there's no criticism to those who don't, but those who are willing to go that deep with life, that to me is called the blessed weird. And they're not going to follow a normal trajectory. And that doesn't mean they look weird. That doesn't mean they necessarily have purple hair or they, you know, are always acting out. Many of us are very, you know, live in modest houses and quiet neighborhoods and have normal jobs. But what that deep commitment is the thing I think that makes the difference.
Right. And I know for myself, what I did is I tried to fit in a particular way that I thought would be impressive, was impressive to outsiders. And I was disconnected from my soul. And what ended up happening is I got the early stages of lymphoma. And so, not following that soul's calling and trying to conform took its toll on my health. And I think that there are many people today who have been sort of getting by living within that box. And yet at this point, they're being called to something more.
Yes. Yes, 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 yes. Yeah, it's so funny. As just before you started saying that, what your experience was, I was thinking, you know, sometimes it's easier to know what the symptoms of not living true are.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so let's go through that. What are some of the symptoms?
Well, you nailed one of them, physical.
Uh-huh.
If I'm having, and that doesn't mean that, you know, having physical ailments is a symptom of doing something wrong necessarily, but I noticed, for example, when I woke up in the middle of my life at age 34, I was 240 pounds. I was completely stressed out. I was waking up every day at 3 o'clock in the morning. I couldn't sleep. I had all the trappings of success, you know, great big house, beautiful office, employees, all that stuff.
Sure.
But I was a complete disaster. I wasn't happy, and my health was on the edge. So health is a big one. That's a big red flag.
Right.
Anxiety, tons of anxiety, and nagging sense that is this all there is?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
The question, if I died today, did I leave anything on the table?
Yeah.
You know,
I
actually.
And, you know, Jacob, that was a really big one for me because when I had the early stages of lymphoma, I was in like my upper 20s and I was looking at this diagnosis. Really, doctors had nothing to offer except like chemotherapy for the rest of my life once they started it. And so I thought, okay, well, I'm not going to get to have children. I'm not going to get to travel. I'm not going to get to live to a ripe old age. But the biggest grief for me was facing the fact that I knew I was here for some important purpose and I would not have an opportunity to fulfill it.
Yes. Yeah, that question of, right, I mean, can I leave this place right now and feel like I did everything I could? Yeah. And if the answer is no, you know, then to me, that's just a good question. It's a clarity question. It's not about guilt. It's not about, you know, I need to be working so much harder. It really, in a lot of cases, it's that we need to be slowing down a lot more. Yes. And getting clear about what actually matters right now.
But don't you think a lot of people will actually create the chaos so they don't have to just be present with that inner calling, that inner discomfort, that perhaps the screaming inner voice?
Absolutely. Yeah, whatever distraction we can come up with to keep us from facing the there's a term I came up with a number of years ago, and I had this vision during that period of time when everything was breaking apart and I'm breaking through and all that. Mm-hmm. I had this vision, Christine, of this shadow wolf that had been chasing me all of my life, and it finally chased me into a box canyon where I could no longer run. I was too tired to run, and so I had to turn and face this shadow wolf, and it wanted to ask me questions. So when it overtook me, I had to just let go and let these questions catch me. Right. That's all it was. It was just questions. It was, why am I here? What does this mean? Mm-hmm. And I was running as hard as I could from those questions all my life.
Yeah. So what happens when we start to face these important questions that are being, you know, screamed at or whispered from our soul? Doesn't it put us in a situation where we're kind of forced to make change?
I think it puts us in a situation, I'm not disagreeing with that, but for me, it's always been a situation where I get to then come to a crossroads. So it's either change or die. Mm-hmm. But the answer is, if I were to take, and I've had this visual so many times, several times in my life, I shouldn't say so many times, not dozens of times, but two or three really big, important ones, leaving the church, mm-hmm. you know, choosing right. to leave a marriage, leaving the business, when there, here's a crossroads, yeah. and to go this direction means yes, it feels like life, there's mm-hmm. a green arrow.
Right.
It also means I'm leaving the map. I'm going off into the unknown, into the mystery, because I've never been there before.
Yeah.
And if I go left, in this case, that means I'm choosing the same. That means I'm choosing what I already know. That means I'm going in a direction that doesn't feel right to whatever is inside of me. Uh-huh. And so I guess the short answer is yes, it forces change, but I've watched myself on the bubble, Christine, and there were times I wasn't sure that I was going to have the courage to make that choice.
Yeah. Oh, well, I really hear you, because I was terrified of change. And it's funny, because these days, one of the things I love to teach is all about positive lasting change, because I've had such a hard time with it. And it does take its toll in terms of health and happiness and ease in life. But, you know, like you, I've chosen to leave, you know, prestigious careers. I've chosen to leave a marriage. I've chosen to leave, you know, friends behind. And yet, even when it's that path that is aligned with our soul, it's still painful, isn't it?
Yeah, and I wouldn't lie to anyone. In fact, it sounds like we've had many, many similarities, Christine. Yeah. That's really. I guess I'm not surprised that I'm here hearing your story. Yeah. But what's interesting is I had people come to me, and maybe you have too. But when I was going through that process, people from the outside looking in, they watched me stepping away from all these things, and I had people come to me quietly and say, "You have so much courage. Like how can you show me how to do this?" And what I eventually realized was the answer is I can't. I didn't have a master plan. I was doing what was insatiable, what felt inevitable.
Right.
And the answer is, yeah, it's painful. And in fact, I've told some since then, if you can avoid it, do. Like, don't do this if you can possibly help it.
Mm-hmm.
you know, because when it comes to that point where it is truly the soul's voice or whatever we want to call that, saying this is the way to go, that intuition, then from my perspective, it becomes this inevitable thing, and it's ruthless and relentless, and it's going to put aside all the barriers if I let it. And then that's where it comes back to the original definition we were talking about who are the blessed weird. And it really is those people who are that committed to go all the way, no matter what.
Yeah. And it just seems to me that, when we do, we'll get in the next half hour, we'll get into, how you define like the signs that people are, you know, a blessed weird person. But, it seems to me that we can't, like, if we don't do it, then we have issues. And if we do it, it breaks our heart wide open and we feel it deeply. So it's kind of like this double-edged sword, you know, and either way, it's going to be intense.
Mm-hmm. Completely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I know you've got blessed weird archetypes. Could you go through those really quickly just to list them before we go to break?
Yeah, actually, flip back here in the book. It's funny when I get on the air, my brain likes to not remember this and how the order. So blessed are the weird people, the poets, the misfits, the writers, the mystics.
Oh yeah,
heretics, yeah. Painters and troubadours, for they teach us to see the world through different eyes.
Oh, beautiful. Can you finish that poem? It's just so gorgeous.
The rest of it here.
Yes, please. Yeah, before we get a break, I want people to hear it.
For they teach us to see the world through different eyes. Blessed are those who embrace the intensity of life's pain and pleasure, for they shall be rewarded with uncommon ecstasy. Blessed are ye who see beauty in ugliness, for you shall transform our vision of how the world might be. Blessed are the bold and whimsical, for their imagination shatters ancient boundaries of fear for us all. Blessed are ye who are mocked for unbridled expression of love in all its forms, because your kind of crazy is exactly that freedom for which the world is unconsciously begging. Blessed are those who have endured breaking by life, for they are the resplendent cracks through which the light shines.
That's absolutely gorgeous. And with that, we're going to go to a break, but stay tuned. More with Jacob Nordby here in just a few moments.
Gonna make a change for once in my life. It's gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right.
Have you ever wanted to learn about the colors of your chakras? Well, now's your chance. Lynn Brown, host of Get Into It, is hosting an event Friday, November 4th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. in Mount Vernon. Every person will get a reading on the most prominent color in their aura. Join Lynn Brown November 4th at the Riverwalk Studio in Mount Vernon. To register for this event, call 360-588-4713. That's 360-588-4713.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show. Stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub for Empowerment Radio and learn breakthrough solutions to switch out of survival mode and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in the first and third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific to Empowerment Radio with host Dr. Friedemann Schaub on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit the fearandanxietysolution.com to learn more.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
This is Peggy Snow, practitioner at Stellar Reflections, with a Stellar Reflections Minute. So many people these days are trying to find ways to relieve their stress. What happens to our breathing when we're feeling overwhelmed and stress? When we tune in, we realize that we're either holding our breath or taking very shallow breath. To signal the body that all is well, which most of the time it is, sometimes all that is needed is a nice, deep breath to break the cycle. First, exhale to get all the stale air out by engaging the abdominal muscles and blowing gently. Next, take a nice, full breath in, feeling it fill your body all the way down to your hips. Release fully and enjoy the freedom of movement. Notice how your body feels. Do you feel refreshed? Calmness is only a breath away. This has been a Stellar Reflections Minute. For more information about what we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm talking today to Jacob Nordby, who is the author of several books, including Blessed Are the Weird, A Manifesto for Creatives. Now, Jacob, you read that beautiful poem that was sort of the inspiration for this book, and you've talked about some of the signs when you're doing things, going down the wrong path, when you are a blessed weird. What are some of the ways in which we know that we are probably a blessed weird and are going to be sort of following a different trajectory if we're following our soul's calling?
Yeah, it's interesting. Once again, you know, this process of this book for me was such a, it was a deep process because it wasn't just a matter of putting together a, you know, some interesting things. For me, it had to be written several times. And that was one of the questions, one of the chapters that actually happened sort of last was, you might be a weird person if.
Uh-huh, right. And I love that chapter too.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Well, it's difficult because I think a lot of people, you know, make the assumption that, well, if I am like this popular artist out there who's super weird, uh-huh, you know, and we might make a list of these people, then I need to become that kind of person if this is what I'm talking about. And what I discovered was, no, it's actually, well, there's this little quote by Ruth Ozeki, which I love. She says, you need to be a little bit crazy. Uh-huh. Crazy is the price you pay for having an imagination. It's your superpower. Ooh. Tapping into the dream. It's a good thing, not a bad thing. So there's this short list, and this is by no means comprehensive, but a few of the things that I've just noticed about people who seem to have this trait is personal comfort isn't your highest priority. Uh-huh. So more likely than not, you're probably more worried about other people around you, you mm-hmm. know, how are they going to be affected by me if I go and live my life the way I want to. So a lot of times those of us have to get sort of freed up from that, because a lot of times we aren't that worried about ourselves. Uh-huh. We figure we're either going to be okay, we're going to die in the process, and that's okay too.
Right,
So then also a lot of us tend to have sensitivities or perceptions that set us apart. Yes. And I, you know, the idea of Harry Potter and Hermione and all those at Hogwarts and then back in the world, you know, like feeling like we have to walk around hiding these perceptions or these sensitivities,
right,
or not understanding that they actually are our superpowers mm-hmm. over time, you know.
Right. Well, we're so worried about judgment associated with it because, you know, in the yeah. conformist world, things like being able to see energy fields or doing energy healing or being, you know, a wonderful and deep poet, you know, that's kind of strange.
Yeah, it is strange. And sometimes we just don't understand what we have our hands on. I mean, you know, Christine, it sounds like you've had, you know, these experiences that opens you wide up or mm-hmm. wide open. And a lot of people, myself included, don't have, you know, what I would call the sexy clairs, the sexy sensitivities. You know, I mean, I have friends who, you know, they can see auras, they can talk to dead people, they can, you know, they have right. all of these things. And those are really exciting. Some of us just have information or extreme sensitivities, so we can feel the energy in a room, or we can sense, you know, when something is not right or is right, or we might have language or extreme sensitivity to the exquisite, you know, the way the world is put together or something, or be able to express it in a certain way. So it, sometimes it can take us a long time. So as a child, for example, I was the kid who was, you know, rough and tumble and climbing trees. And I was also the kid who loved, you know, classical music. And I was the kid who would probably cry, even though I'd have, you know, bruised up knees and all sorts of things. I was also the very sensitive kid. And that's, that doesn't work real well as a little boy, you
I
know,
bet, yeah.
especially not then. So, right. so these are some of the things. So those sensitivities, we tend to want to live differently from the world around us. And of course we're living in an age right now, Christine, where that is becoming more and more acceptable, honored to say, no, I get to carve out my life the way I want to. I get to take care of the earth and myself.
So give us some examples about how some of the blessed weird choose to live differently or are inspired to live differently.
You know, I'm just noticing that people are shifting their lifestyles, what they have around them, how they live in their houses. And not to say that everyone will do this at all, but because I don't. I live, you know, nice little townhouse. But I have friends who live in – have sold their big houses and are living in tiny houses. I have a very successful friend, you know, software executive who sold everything and is now living in a fifth wheel, traveling the whole country. I talked to him 2 or 3 days ago. And he's just absolutely loving his life because it matches who he really is inside. You know, watching people decide that, oh, the 9-to-5 life isn't for me. I'm going to trust myself and go out and begin to carve out a life, or it is for me, but I'm going to cut out all these other obligations that don't really match who I am so that I can pursue, you know, in my spare time, pursue the art, the stuff that's real in me. And that's the other big myth, Christine, is that, and I really think we need to address that, because in America right now, it says, if what you have inside, if this art, whatever that might be, if it's worth anything, then you will be able to make a full-time income at it. And that, I think, is one of the biggest reasons why people don't pursue what's real inside of themselves, because they don't believe that it can ever get there.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, for some, they probably could get there. And for others, it does it really matter if they're expressing their soul?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, and I want to make sure, and you know, that point you just made is so important. The answer is it can get there. How it gets there, the way it is pieced together. I mean, if I had looking back, you know, when I was going through putting down all these different ways I had been, the roles and the CEO of this and all these things, if I had looked forward 8 or 9 years to where I am today and said, okay, this is how my life will look then, I wouldn't have been able to imagine it. I would have had, when I was trying to figure out what it meant to follow my heart, I had all different visions of how it might be put together and how it might actually work. And those visions don't at all match how I'm living my life now. And I'm grateful that didn't come true.
Right.
Because what it is now and how it is continuing to evolve, it matches me. And I love that.
Mm-hmm. So how important is the paring away of, you know, roles or, you know, the homes, the large home or whatever it is that we end up letting go of. How important is that to sort of honing our expression of our soul?
I'm going to ask you a question just to clarify, and then you can feel free to ask that again if you want.
Okay, sorry, I didn't do a great job with it, but let's try it again.
No, the question is fantastic. I just don't want to answer it in a blanket fashion so that people get, okay, oh, great, okay, that means I'm going to have to do this. So do you, if by asking that, do you mean, is it 100% that you will have to cut away everything that you think that you have around you? Is that what you're asking or not?
No, I'm saying that when we do end up, you know, paring those things away. How, I mean, is that an important part of it, of the process of sort of stepping into our blessed weirdness, so to speak?
So good. Yeah. Okay. I'm glad we're carving this out together, because what I've noticed, Christine, is when people come along and say, you know, hey, if I follow my heart, can you guarantee that I won't lose anything? And the answer is, right? Let's all just laugh a lot about that. The answer is no. I can guarantee you will lose.
Right.
You will lose things. The answer is, if we follow this path, we will lose everything that does not help us, does not assist us on the journey into our highest joy. I'm going to lose, and so that's what I've come to for myself. I'm going to lose everything that doesn't assist me in this journey toward my highest joy. And can there be any easier math than that, though? Like, does it really, if I'm really going toward my highest joy, do I care about losing anything?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, one of the interesting things that I've found through my own process of letting go of things and sort of stepping further forward, you know, to let my soul speak, it has been, I've sort of lost a sense of self. It's like that too is something that I feel like I'm losing. And for a long time I thought, this doesn't feel comfortable and I'm not sure if it's a good thing. And now I'm becoming more comfortable with it. Have you experienced anything like that?
Without any question. In fact, I love talking to other people who have, just because partly it helps me know that, yeah, you're not going nuts or didn't go nuts back there or something. But yeah, the answer for me is that there was the self that I had built up to protect my real self that wasn't comfortable being vulnerable. All of that had to be let go of. And my dearest held illusions and all of those things, as I let them go. And then what I've noticed is there's a new sense of self emerges, in me, Christine, and that self, it's like walking naked in the world. It's terrifying,
yeah,
right? I mean, I've not done that. I don't walk up and down the sidewalk naked, just so we're all clear here.
It's a little too cold there, isn't it?
It's a little much. No, but I've been to clothing optional hot tubs and things like that.
Right,
know, even that's a big challenge personally. But if you can imagine walking naked in the world and feeling safe, truly safe enough to do that, eventually to realize, oh, nothing can hurt me here. Right. You know, Amanda Palmer, Neil Gaiman, is one of my favorite authors, and his wife, Amanda Palmer, is this amazing, musician. And she did one of my favorite TED Talks is hers, which is The Art of Asking. And she talks about in her shows over in Europe, in Germany once, she actually took her clothes off on stage and then stepped down into the audience, and people wrote little love notes on her body in Sharpie.
Whoa.
And I mean, it's just breathtaking to even imagine that. Right.
Uh-huh.
And she talked about the absolute vulnerability of allowing strangers to trust strangers with our naked bodies. And again, I'm not suggesting that has to be part of the blessed weird thing here, but just that example of tremendous vulnerability. And so when you asked the question about losing a sense of self, yeah, when I took off all of the clothes over time, all of these clothes that I had been wearing, metaphorically speaking, and then discovered that the real me, without all of those shells and trappings, that real me was actually safe to be here, then a new sense of self emerges. And it, I won't say it's bulletproof, because of course I can still be hurt and scratched and all that.
Sure.
But there is the sense that the real me, the core me, the real thing, it's not destructible. It's it's not as able to be destroyed by the small things that used to do it.
Yeah, that makes sense. And it's beautiful. We have to go to another quick break. More in just a few moments. Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns and certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-9836 or visit StellarReflections.com. That's StellarReflections.com.
Brand consultant Jen Morgan is here with Radically Distinct Radio to help you take control of your future and maximize your brand's power to produce results. Whether you're an individual trying to reinvent yourself and launch a new venture, or you're an executive trying to reposition your company to modernize your sales and marketing programs, Jen Morgan and the Rad Method empower you to play to your strengths and show up in the world as your most powerful brand. To learn more, go to jenmorgan.com. That's Jen with two N's, Morgan.com, or call 206-972-5366.
Would you like to experience life-transforming adventures in personal expansion and world service? If you do, tune in to learn about magical innate abilities that you can develop and use to make your dreams come true. Joy Elaine is author of The Joy Chronicles, and she's inviting you and millions of others to join her in working with galactic masters, angels, and the Ashtar Command as they assist humanity and planet Earth to achieve their ultimate destination of ascension. For more information about this upcoming event and broadcast, visit joyelaine.com. That's joy, E-L-A-I-N-E.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. For centuries, spiritual traditions have talked about how humans have an energy field, or aura, surrounding them. Although skeptical scientists refuted this for decades, science is now beginning to catch up with spirituality. Scientists can actually measure light emanating from living beings, so they can measure the human aura, which in scientific terms is known as the biofield. Many medical practitioners around the world use an instrument to evaluate a patient's biofield for the purpose of diagnosing illness. They understand that imbalanced or insufficient light in a person's energy field indicates a physical or emotional problem. The good news? There are ways to balance and increase your light, resulting in greater well-being. For more information, please check out StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. You know, Jacob, before we end the show, I want to make sure that people know how they can connect with you, where they can buy the book, and what your website is. Can you share with our listeners how they can get in touch with you?
Yeah, thank you. So we have blessedaretheweird.com is probably the easiest way. And once you're there, you can find the Blessed Are the Weird Facebook page, and meet a lot of the other folks who come and go from there. The book is officially sort of launching on November 29th, but it is right now available. You can read an excerpt on blessedaretheweird.com, a free excerpt, and you can also find it on Amazon. It's available Amazon, Barnes & Noble, IndieBound. You can also do iTunes. It's available on iTunes as an ebook, and eventually, pretty soon, will be on for audiobooks.
Wonderful, and it is an absolutely spectacular book. I've really enjoyed it, and I just love where you add a little bit of insight, sort of in this beautiful little block setting, or you might have a poem within it. It's a great book.
Thank you.
So, you know, I'd love to get your insight, Jacob, about where we're at right now in the world and how the blessed weird people have the potential to kind of shift where we're at.
Oh, thanks. Well, so what I've feel strongly is that what we've created all together, this world that we're in, it followed pretty logically, a fairly logical path, but it follows along the fight or flight path of, you know, fear and scarcity. And so we did a pretty good job of creating a world now that is, you know, a machine world, so to speak, that helps us deal with the vicissitudes of nature, the capriciousness of nature, and it makes sense, right? So that's why the more carefully engineered our processes are for handling nature, basically, and each other.
Uh-huh.
That's what got us here. And by the way, I'm not criticizing. Like, I love running water. I love the car I drive. I love having the computer and all these things.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm not criticizing the world we live in. And the answer, folks, who I've talked to a lot, is not to try to turn the clock back 200 years.
Uh-huh.
That won't work either. So the answer right now, though, is those who see the world through different eyes, who have a different perspective, we are being tasked with redefining what success means.
Mm.
Because success has meant creating these systems and these machines and these structures to help us have a more, solid food supply or better access to water or more comfort in our lives. Now we've gotten to the place where we're bumping our heads on Maslow's hierarchy. We're bumping our heads on the floorboards of the next level, which is self-actualization, which is stepping into who we really are, mm-hmm. which means that we become much, much more creative. And by the way, the creative thing, this is really near to my heart too. I was with my brother this morning, and one of the companies we started, he now runs, and it's just a fantastic deal, but the technology company.
Uh-huh.
And he's told me over and over again, Christine's like, I don't feel like I'm an artist. I'm not all that creative. And I'm sitting there going, he's like, I love to design processes. I said, Nate, the processes you build are your art.
Uh-huh.
Like what you've done, the heart and soul of what you've created is so beautiful. And he's created a weird kind of a company. Like he has this beautiful culture and the people who work there are lit up. They're turned on.
Uh-huh.
And so I feel like that is our opportunity right now, Christine, is to redefine success. What does success mean to me?
Mm-hmm.
And not try to change the whole world, like create this zone of tolerability, to create this world that works for myself.
Right.
Like Anais Nin said, when you make a world tolerable for yourself, you make a world tolerable for others. And
right.
So getting really clear that what success means for me is becoming everything that is possible inside of this framework of Jacob Nordby, for example, or you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all success means. It's not about comparing myself to this one over here or trying to have a house that looks like that one. It's what makes me deeply happy all the way to my bone.
Mm-hmm. So within the context of conformity, don't you expect there's going to be, or there already is, some resistance to it?
Well, yeah, but you know what? We're living in this era, Christine, where I feel like being a heretic, being a misfit, stepping into, you know, what's real, it's never been easier. I feel strongly we are in the new renaissance, and it's the highest renaissance period the world has ever known, at least in this current story of humanity. That's how I feel about it. And so we actually have more freedom than we want to take. Yes, there is resistance, but actually there's more acceptance right now. I mean, look what's happened with the question of gay marriage. Look what's happened with so many things that even when I was a child or you were a child, Christine, or Benny, think about. I mean, think about how impossible some of these things would have been 10 or 20 years ago.
Right.
And they're already in change. So we are already living in the time when all we really have to do is step across the line. And really, that's what I feel is like we're redefining the word success. We're also redefining the word weird and what the word normal even means.
Right.
There really is no normal right now. So it really is up to us to let go of that idea and just find out who we really are and then do it.
And I also think that as we come out of the closet of being the blessed weird type, mm-hmm. it actually invites others to do the same. And it feels to me that connection between, you know, those of us who are weird is an important piece of this puzzle of shifting the world.
Mm, I agree. Yeah, and you look at one person at a time, and I know you do work with people like this, Christine, and I'm looking at the list of some of the guests you've had on your show, just amazing folks. People need to understand that the greatest gift they can give the world, they don't have to become famous. they don't have to become this, you know, move the needle in some massive way. Just becoming who we really are and lighting up, energetically lighting up and becoming truly happy, truly on point in my own life, letting go of the things. You know, the two questions I like to ask myself whenever I'm up against resistance is, what do I want? What do I want right here? What's true? And what am I afraid of? If I can get clear on what do I want and what am I afraid of right now in this situation, like I use that on a regular basis almost every day. Whenever I start to feel afraid or like I'm hiding or something, and that always gives me this information. The other thing I like to ask myself on a fairly frequent basis, not every day, but whenever I find myself up against a big decision, is I talked to 80-year-old Jacob, you know, sitting somewhere on a porch, hopefully, or climbing a mountain or something, I don't know. But I ask him, are you proud of me for staying this course, whatever the decision might be?
I love that. And you know what? We are out of time. This hour has flown by. Thank you so much, Jacob, for joining us here today.
Thank you.
And thank you for joining us. I look forward to talking to you again sometime soon. Bye, everybody.
You've been listening to the Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.StellarReflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.TransformationTalkRadio.com. TransformationTalkRadio.com.
The preceding audio was via a Skype call.